Welcome to the Equipping the Saints podcast. We're glad you're joining us today. Here is this week's teaching.
Welcome, everybody, to the Equipping the Saints podcast. My name is Pastor Bernard, and we're back again discussing this important topic of the sovereignty of God. And what we learned last week about the sovereignty of God is that it's God's grace poured on the hearts of a wretched, wretched person. And the sovereignty of God is our salvation. The sovereignty of God is something that we don't deserve. The sovereignty of God is something that is unmerited, but it's given. It's given by a gracious God that has mercy on the believers. And so the whole purpose of what we're doing here is we're discussing the scriptures and we're bringing it full force up front so you can understand what they're saying to us. This week we're going to be in Isaiah 45. Isaiah chapter 45, verses 7 through 9. And the important part of these pieces of scripture is we're going to see what the sovereignty of God is, who he is, what he is capable of doing. And in this part, we're going to understand his nature. We're going to understand who he is, and we're going to piece it all together next week so we can really understand it all. So we can take that piece of sovereignty and understand it, and not only understand it, but we see who God truly is. And see, the sovereignty of God is truly something that is missing inside of the church. The church doesn't speak about the sovereignty of God. The church speaks about as God being a love being of, and that's pretty much it, which he is. But in all respect, it's so much more than that. Like, for us to truly understand the scriptures, for us to truly understand what the church is made up, we need to understand the sovereignty of God and how important it truly is. So we're going to be in the 45th chapter of Isaiah, and we're going to start in verse 7, and we're going to go down to verse 9. God's word says, I form the light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does all things. Shower, O heavens, from above, and let the clouds rain down righteousness. Let the earth open, and salvation and righteousness may bear fruit. Let the earth cause them both to sprout. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe to him who strives with him who formed him, a pot among earthen pots. Does the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or your work has no handles. Here speaks so clear of what we're discussing for these 3 weeks is the sovereignty of God. In verse 7, it says, I form the light and create darkness from the beginning of time. When we speak about God in Genesis, we see from the beginning of time, he created that light, and he can also create darkness. And he brings people from darkness into light. Here in Isaiah, it speaks clear. I make well-being and create calamity. He creates good and he can create bad. He creates an ultimate good and he can also bring down with his wrath calamity on those who don't believe. On those who are against him. On those who do not listen to him and do not obey. He's speaking clearly here. And back at the beginning of verse 7, I form the light and create darkness. When we go back to Genesis, we see him create nothing into light. We see him create the world. We see him created by his hands, that he creates it. And he brings the light. He brought the light. He also brings in the darkness. Verse 8, shower, O heavens, from above, and let the clouds rain down righteousness. Let the earth open, that salvation and righteousness may bear fruit. So through salvation, through salvation, we go through this process of sanctification. We go through that process, and in the meantime, we're bearing fruit. We can tell, truly, when we talk about other people, we can tell others by their fruits. We can tell their actions by their fruits. You know, John speaks clearly of Jesus being the vineyard, the vineyard, and we're vines and we're pieces of fruit off of that. We are. Jesus is the centerpiece, but we're the pieces of fruit off of that, and we are to grow. We are to continue to grow inside of our salvation. We're to continue to grow through sanctification. Every single day we should be sanctified. Every single day we should be doing something to glorify God. And if we're not going through that process of sanctification, then we're not truly saved. It speaks here that let the earth open and the salvation of righteousness may bear fruit. That the saved may bear fruit. Let the clouds rain down righteousness, true righteousness from the Lord. That the only way we are righteous is through Him. That's the only way. It says in John that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody gets through heaven besides through Him. That the Lord, nobody can get through besides through Him first. And here we're seeing such a nature from God. Let that salvation and righteousness may bear good fruit. That's the only way you can bear good fruit, because if we're not truly saved, we wouldn't bear any fruit at all. Our fruits for the unsaved are nasty, unripened fruit that are no good, that do nothing but cause harm. Understand this, saints, that if we are truly in our walk with Jesus, in our walk with Him, that we must bear good fruits, that we are to show good fruits constantly inside of our lives, with everybody that we meet, with everybody we come across, that it's something that we are supposed to do, we are commanded to do by scriptures. And there's nothing else that we are to do, that we are to show good fruits, that we are to show others who we are. You know, it's always funny. You can kind of point it out on who's saved and who is not saved by their actions. That we can tell not because of a conversation or not because of a theological debate. We can tell by their fruits. We can tell by their actions. We can tell by how they help others. We can tell by so many different things. That's the way. That's the way we can tell, is if we bear good fruits. And like I said, if it's nasty fruits, those are fruits that are not glorifying God. We talk about glorifying Him, and that's going to be later on in another series, but when we speak about glorifying Him, it's by the actions of the elect. It's by the actions of His people that we are to show those things. So here in verse 8, it speaks clearly. It says, let the clouds rain down righteousness. Let the earth open up that salvation and righteousness may bear fruit, that the saved may bear fruit no matter what. Continuing on in verse 8, it says, let the earth cause them both to sprout. For I, the Lord, has created it, speaking through Isaiah, that He's saying, I have created the earth, that He dictates what happens. He dictates your salvation. He dictates how you act. He dictates everything here. Let the earth cause them both to sprout. Let them cause to grow inside their salvation through righteousness in Christ. That truly the saved will be righteous with the Lord. Truly the saved will be the one sprouting out. And then He says, I, the Lord, have created it. I can dictate what I want to do because I have created it. What a wonderful Savior we read here. He says, I have created it. I give this peace of salvation. I allow you to bear fruit. I allow you to go through this process of sanctification, and then you get glorification. I allow that to happen. I allow a wretched soul, just like myself, to be saved. That he allows it. It doesn't say that you allowed it and that you let it inside of you to sprout. No. It's all done by him and through him. And this is what we're reading in the scriptures. Verse 9, it says, woe to him who strives with him and who formed him, a pot among earthen pots. It speaks clearly here. A pot made of the earth. Earthly ways. Things that are okay in the earth. Things that are okay in this world. That it says, woe to you for being made like that. Made of this earth, of this world. You are not made of this earth. You are not made of this nasty world. Earthen pots. You are made like the earth. You are caught up in all of the worldly things. You are caught up in all the things that are not glorifying me. Woe to him. Does the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or your work has no handles. He says, see, he's the potter. And he forms us. We read that in Jeremiah, that he forms his clay into how he feels should be done. That he forms us in a way that we can truly, truly glorify. See, it's amazing when we speak of the sovereignty of God that from the beginning here, we see from verse 7 that he created the light and the darkness from the beginning of time. And then we see that he can bring down salvation. He brings down these things. These aren't things that in our own self that we desire. We will never desire salvation. We can never make the choice to desire salvation. It's only done through a sovereign God that we have salvation. That we have true salvation that saves. There may be worldly things that we get caught up in, that we enjoy doing. These worldly things do not ultimately bring us closer to God. These worldly things do not give us salvation. The only God that can let the clouds rain down righteousness that we read in verse 8 can bring down salvation. He's the only one that can make our fruit sprout. He's the only one that can make us grow. He's the only one that loves us enough to do so. Understand when we're speaking about these different doctrines of God's sovereignty, or we're speaking about righteousness of God, we're seeing such a high standard of God here. Understand that God is so in control, and it's not just to say, I let my arms up and you control God, right? Like we hear in the song, Jesus take the wheel. You do whatever you need to do. You still have a piece in it. It's up to us to continue to walk in it. It's up to us to obey and to listen and to walk inside that walk. See, his salvation is so glorious, so righteous that we cannot not want to be a part of it. It's truly, it's irresistible. When we speak of the tulip, the eye in the tulip is irresistible grace. And I had a sermon on this at New Start Reformed Church, the church I planted in the past, and it was about irresistible grace. And it was about how irresistible it is because God's grace is so genuine, because God's grace is so divine that we can't even imagine to truly resist that grace. And that's something we'll be speaking about here in October. We're going to actually dive into the tulip. We're going to discuss it in the month of October, and I'm really looking forward to it because it's going to be an awesome series of how we can understand God's nature. That's why leading up through it, we're talking about the sovereignty of God. Sovereignty of God's important because if it lays down the whole foundation of the church, it lays down the whole foundation of everything inside of our lives. And it leads us up into that whole study of the tulip. Understand this, saints. God's sovereignty is so genuine. God's sovereign exists because if his sovereignty doesn't exist, we do not exist. The earth would not exist. The things that we take for granted inside this earth, such as grass or the skies or the stars at night, were put there for a reason. They were put there in particular by God because of his nature, because of who he is. It's vital that we understand the sovereignty of God. It's vital that we see how important it is inside the church, that the church foundation should be built on the sovereignty of God because he's worth every minute of it. He's worth to be praised. He should be praised every single day. Should be praised in our life. It's important that we study him. It's important that we, through these scriptures like Isaiah 45, 7 through 9, that we see God's sovereign work put into play, that he created the light and created the darkness, that he makes well-being, but he also brings in calamity. He showers the heavens from above and let the clouds rain down righteousness, salvation, so that we may bear fruit. That we may bear good fruit in this world that is not good. Saints, hear me. Hear me clearly this week. It's up to us to bear good fruits. And we must understand the sovereignty of God and how important the sovereignty of God is to our lives. The sovereignty of God is vital for the church. It's vital for our homes. And we are to understand that. We are to see truly how important it is. Next week, we will be discussing the sovereignty of God again, but we'll be in the book of Matthew, and we're also going to hopefully have a guest with us, Pastor James Lynch, and we're going to discuss that same nature of the sovereignty of God. We're going to see it in another piece of scripture in the New Testament so that we can really compare week to week of what we're looking at and wrap it all up here on the Equipping the Saints podcast. And if you haven't seen our website yet, go to equippingthesaints.faith. That's equippingthesaints.faith. You can find articles there written from different authors throughout the United States. You can also listen to our podcast from there as well. And you can find a ton of resources. We have a list of resources that you can be interested in going to check out and websites with that as well. So I hope you all enjoyed the teaching this week. Before we leave, let's go into a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, today we come to you with this nature of God's of your sovereignty, of your grace and your mercy. And we see it in the book of Isaiah. We see how you created the light and then you created the darkness. You created us from well-being into calamity, that you created us to go through this salvation. That is through you, by your grace, that we are to take it and that we are to utilize it. It's through you that we go through this process of sanctification. And we thank you for this process. We thank you for the saints listening to this today. Father, I ask that you be with these families as we continue this journey inside of this earth, that we are not to be conformed to this earth, that we are to be more conformed to you and to your Son. Father, we're thankful for the mercy. And thankful for all your grace that you've poured out on us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. I'll see you all next week here at the Equipping the Saints podcast. And look at us online and go to our website, equippingthesaints.faith. Be blessed. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening today. Subscribe to our podcast and listen to the weekly teaching.